Before I get started, I would like to pass something out to you. I may ask for Richard's help. Would you be willing to help me pass these out to the congregation? Thank you. This is a version of the Lord's Prayer. This is the New Revised Standard version of the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to invite you to just hold on to this as we go through it. Feel free to make notes. And if you need a pen or a pencil, I have some pens here, and you're welcome to borrow them. But I did take them out of the office without asking Eric, so we need to make sure we put them back, or I may get in trouble. Here you go. Here you go. Well, I invite you to take one and then pass them back. Here you go. Here you go. So, this morning we're hearing different forms of prayer. We heard the St. Francis prayer. We heard hymns, which are a sung prayer. We hear some off-the-cuff prayers. And we heard the Lord's Prayer in different versions. Now let me ask you something. When you say the Lord's Prayer, we invite people to say whichever version speaks to them. How many people use the Trespasses Prayer? How many people use debts and debtors? How many people use sins? How many people use something else entirely? Really, now, I want you to think back to when you were a child and learned this prayer. The one that you grew up saying in church, is if it was different from the one you use now, go ahead and raise your hand. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I grew up hearing trespasses. I grew up hearing trespasses. So, what's interesting about this prayer is that there are two versions in the Bible. But we often use a third version, a different version. And what's interesting about this prayer is that Jesus says right before he teaches it, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And so there's this tension between God already knows. God already knows. Whatever is on our hearts, God already knows what is on our hearts. God already knows what we need, and yet we still pray. So let's talk about this prayer. Let's talk about it. The beginning, the first line. I'm looking at the green sheet here. The first line is, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we have this image of a paternal God in heaven, and a greeting of respect. A very, very standard opening greeting. But then it gets into some meaty stuff. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Many people don't realize that's all one sentence. A lot of people think that it's your kingdom come, period. Your will be done, period. On earth as it is in heaven. It's all one sentence. Think about that for a second. God already knows what we need. But we sometimes need to remind ourselves what this is all about. That we are trying to build a kingdom right here on earth, just like the one that is in heaven, where there is peace, where there is justice, where everyone has enough, where there is harmony, where no one dies unnecessarily, right here on earth. Your kingdom come, and your will be done, just as it is in heaven. It's a reminder. We see in the 12-step programs a lot, the concept of turning one's will and one's life over to God. A reminder that we're not in control, and maybe we shouldn't be even if we could be. Following the will of God. And in prayer, we are listening. We are praying that God will show us what that will is so that we can follow it. Because if we are following God's will, the long-term plan, the trajectory we are on, is working towards bringing that kingdom here on earth, working on building a just and peaceful and harmonious society. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a rich passage because on the one hand, Jesus fed people, didn't he? He broke bread with people, just like we're going to do today, to feed the hungry, to share the resources. And at the same time, he says, I am the bread of life. So when we say, give us today our daily bread, We're asking not only to have our basic physical needs met, so that we don't have to worry about whether or not we're going to eat today, but also to get the spiritual nourishment that we so desperately need. Scripture, prayer, finding God's presence, being aware of God's presence in nature, in conversations with other people, when we come into contact with people who have less than us, coming face to face with Jesus. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, we trust that God's already giving it to us, but when we pray this prayer, we become more aware of it where we may not have been aware before. And when we're consciously increasing our awareness of God, it's a good thing. So here's where we get to the passage where everybody splits. And forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Now, are you aware there's two different versions in the Bible? Are you aware of that? In the book of Matthew, it says debts and debtors. In the book of Luke, it says forgive us our sins as we forgive those who are indebted to us. Did you know that? Yeah. Yeah, two versions. Neither of them says trespasses. Neither of them says trespasses. So, the book of Matthew was a poor community. Consisted a lot of day laborers, slaves, and newly freed slaves. And so when they said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, they knew how crippling debt could be. They knew what it was like to be an indentured servant. They knew what it was like to be exploited by tax collectors and by the temple to the point that they had to borrow in order to feed their families. Jesus talked so much about money and about the power plays that can happen when money is misused and how people were being impoverished by these very tactics. When they talk about debts and debtors, it's because it was a real problem in a real society right there on the ground. They are asking for forgiveness of their debts because they cannot continue to live and thrive while they are under that burden, much like we see today with predatory lending practices in housing, in credit cards, in various schemes. Once people get into heavy debt, it's really hard to get out. It's really hard to get out. When we see that on a national and worldwide level, where entire countries are very much into debt, they talk about the enormous debt load that we have in this world. And someone added it all up. How is it possible the entire world can be in debt by $14 bazillion? Who are we indebted to? We're indebted to banks. We're indebted to banks. Entire countries are indebted to banks. And those debts must be paid first before things like food stamps or disaster relief. So debt is a crippling problem. Money that is owed absolutely affects your life. Even if you're slowly paying it off, it causes anxiety, it causes worry, and it doesn't allow you to do other things that you could do with your hard-earned money. So the community that wrote the book of Matthew used debts and debtors. You get to the book of Luke. That was a completely different community. The book of Luke, in the book of Luke, Luke was speaking to a community that had a lot of money. They had a huge amount of money. They had money, they had property, they had wealth. And when they pray their prayer, they didn't have debts. Other people were indebted to them. They owned people's debts. And so their prayer says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who are indebted to us. Do you see that? It changes. They didn't have any debts. Why would they ask for forgiveness of debts? They were the bankers. They were the landowners. They were the ones that owned the indentured servants. And so you see how the language changes in the book of Luke. So where do we get trespasses from? Where do we get trespasses from? Trespasses appears only in the English version. Other countries do not use trespasses. The word trespasses appeared in the Catholic Book of Common Prayer, in the Episcopal Book of Common Prayer in the early 1900s. And I have not been able to get to the heart of why they chose that language. Here's my theory, though, and it's worth every penny that you paid for it. The Catholic Church and the Anglican Church were at odds with one another. And it was all over territory. It was all over territory. They had so much money, they had so much power, and they were fighting over who was in control of England, who was going to be in control of English-speaking countries. The Catholic Church said, "We are." The King of England said, "No, not anymore." And thus the tension began. And the Episcopal Church is the American branch of the Anglican Church. And so there were no debts. They had plenty of money. No debts. But there was this concept of stepping on one another's toes. Who was in control of which territory? There was definitely that going on. And so we suddenly see the appearance of the word trespasses. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those, the other church on the other side of the block, who may trespass against us by getting all up in our territory. You see that? That's my theory. If I find out otherwise, I will definitely let you know. So, do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. There are different versions of this in the ancient scrolls. They vary slightly. It can be translated, deliver us from evil. It can be translated, lead us not into temptation. Depends on the translation. But the basic concept of there are things that can throw us off our path. The love of money, seven deadly sins, temptations of all sort abound. Not that make us into bad people, but that can take us off of our path of trying to build a just and harmonious society. It's so easy. It's so easy to behave in a selfish manner. It's so easy to turn a blind eye to someone in need. It's so easy to see justice and let it go unchecked without saying anything. Lead us not into that temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because evil in this world, when we see how many people are starving and are dying and are suffering unnecessarily, this is what we're up against. This is what we're up against. Do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. Now, what's interesting was in the Matthew version, there's a part that's missing. Did you notice that? Let me read that little section for you again. Whoops, did I lose the page? It says, "And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven. We also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you." Did you notice anything there? What's missing? Come on, you can say it with me. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Yeah, that part is missing. That's because it's not in the ancient versions. It's not. It appears later in some versions, but certainly not in all of the original scrolls that we have. And when I say original, I mean the oldest copies we have. We do not have the original that was penned by Matthew himself. So some scholars believe that that was added after the fact because it's very similar to a passage in Chronicles, which occurred much, much later. It's a summary of everything that happened in the first many books of the Old Testament. And so it was added much, much later. And it could have been around the time when these were being penned, and they would have added it after the fact in some versions, but not all. Let me read to you. This is where David, similarly, is teaching people to pray. In the Chronicles version, this doesn't appear in Kings. And he ends one of his prayers with, "Yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all." Amen. Sound familiar? They condensed it and added it to the prayer in Matthew, and that's how we get that. That's how we get that version. Now, I grew up saying the trespasses version because I grew up in the Episcopal Church, which uses the Book of Common Prayer. If you grew up in the Methodist Church, you probably heard debts and debtors a lot. That's probably the version that they used. So, what I'm going to invite you to do now is take a look at this. Get your pen out and put it into contemporary language. It has been put into contemporary languages multiple times. But God knows what we need, and we get the basics here. A greeting and an exaltation, a prayer that we be aware of God's will and that the kingdom that we're trying to build come right here on earth, that if everyone were following God's will as they do in heaven, the kingdom would be built. The understanding of daily bread, both as physical and spiritual, and so on. I invite you to rewrite the Lord's Prayer. I invite you to use your own language for your own prayer. God already knows what you need. This is just a map to get there. I invite you to use your own language and take a few minutes to write your prayer. Make sure you write your name at the top of the paper. Do that first so you don't forget. And I will be collecting these afterwards. I will return them to you. But I would love to see what you come up with, what your prayer is for this world, how you speak to God and what you expect to hear back. And for those, if you do not already have a copy of this green sheet and some pens, I have extras here.